Welcome to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau, the show that provides Christian insights into contemporary, moral, and ethical values and dives deep into how your faith in Jesus changes the way you live your life. Now, here's your host, Mike Sherboneau.
Good evening, everybody. So glad to be with you on this holiday weekend, and I hope you've been having a great time so far with this amazing weather. So just a shout out to all our Canadians. Happy 1st of July as we celebrate our birthday, and then to all our American friends on the 4th of July. Equal to you. What a great week to celebrate. We have so much as we enjoy the freedom of both these countries. Grateful for the friendships that have been forged over the years, things that we should not take for granted. And recently, as I was traveling, I was in different places, but I was reminded that the freedom that we enjoy here in Canada is not the same in other places. The freedom that we enjoy in the United States is not the same. So we have so much to be grateful for. But I hope you're enjoying the weekend. And I hope that in the middle of all your celebrations, whether it's on July 1 or July 4th, that you will pause and give thanks to God. You know, there is a psalm, and while I wasn't planning to go there so early in the show, I just got to go there right now, Psalm 16. And the psalmist, when he writes, he talks about giving thanks and giving praise to God for all that he has done. And that is so important. And in Psalm 116, he says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And I want you to know tonight that God hears your call. He hears your cry. And some of you might have just hit the pause button saying, I'm not so sure about that, Mike. And that's okay for you to think that, because what I want to do tonight is I would love to invite as many as possible to call in just to weigh in for 15 or 30 seconds with your answer to a question. Okay, here's the question. Can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? Do you trust God? Would you tell your friends, hey, you can trust God? And then what happens if things go south? Well, then we get angry at God. If things are okay, then we're happy. Here's the question. Can God be trusted? And the number to call, of course, is 1-800-684-2848. 1-800-684-2848 to all our friends out of the Buffalo greater area. And those of our friends in Buffalo, it is 883-5000. 883-5000. Why don't you get on the phone right now and just quickly, let's get a quick poll going if we can on the question, can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? And while I'm waiting for people to call in tonight, we also have a special guest coming on later in the program in about 15, 20 minutes. Todd Sanders is going to be calling in. Looking forward to his comments with us as he's going to unpack that with me. But I want to take you to a passage of Scripture. It's a passage that I'm going to be teaching from at North End Church tomorrow morning. North End Church tomorrow morning. It's in 455 Geneva Street. If you have no summer plans, why not come and join us at 10 o'clock in the morning. But I'm going to be going to that passage of Scripture that many people turn to in the difficult moments of life. It's a passage of Scripture that people give to you if you're in the midst of a hard time. And probably in one of the darkest, saddest moments of my life, it was a night that I didn't get much sleep. I got up early in the morning, and there was a group of people praying. And when I got there, I wondered, what on earth am I going to say to them? And a man who was leading the prayer time said, Pastor, he said, we've just been reading from Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, and let me share it with you. He didn't know what I had been through. Very few people did. But it was just the dark night of the soul. And he writes these words in Romans 8, 28. He said, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Really? Is that really true? And it says, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Well, what's that all about? The question before us tonight is, can God be trusted? You know, If I could just teach on that passage for a couple of minutes, and we hope people will call in. Again, the numbers are 883-5000. All of our friends in Buffalo, we just want to hear you on this one. Can God be trusted? Do you really believe that? Yes? No? Give me a reason, or just even weigh in with your yes or no. If you're in the greater Niagara, the greater Toronto area, it's 1-800-684-2848. I want to hear from some of you people who are Christians, some of you who are church people, and just to be honest enough to say, here's what I've struggled with. So pick up the phone, call in. Your call can make a great impact on people's lives. But what I've noticed is this, is that we are all guilty of trying to work the angles. Isn't that true? And the whole concept comes out when we try to take the difficult things of life and make them fit into our wish list or desire. And some of you have wondered, maybe this week, maybe today, what on earth is God doing? Why is he allowing things to go this way in my life? Others of you might be thinking within yourselves, God, who is he? Where is he? And better still, maybe some of you are wondering, well, what on earth is he doing? I think over the last week and a half, I've been struggling with something and I've been praying about it and saying, God, what's the answer? What are you saying in the midst of this? Because I was expecting major disappointment because I had my wish list. And as I was bringing that before God, I'm saying, are you trying to say something to me, God? Do you want me to change course, to change directions? How do you want me to handle this? And the whole thing is knowing, can we trust God? But sometimes it's so easy to try to work the angles. Do you ever try to work angles with God? Do you ever try to just say, you know, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. Well, what we find here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is that God is making a promise. So here's a question. Have you ever had someone promise you something and then fall through on their word? Well, I'm sure you have. And in all likelihood, you and I, maybe certainly I, have done the same. Try not to do that, but, you know, I have failed. Well, here, Paul is speaking of one of the promises of God upon which you can hang your hat. You can buy the farm on this one. He says he uses this as a phrase to underscore what he is saying, and he does it with the phrase. He says, and we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. Now, let me just unpack those three little words, and we know. It really is a phrase of faith. So the question first is, well, who do we know? And the answer is God. Now, if you're listening tonight, I want to invite you to write down a verse. It's found in Daniel chapter 11, verse 28. And it reads, that they who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. You see, there is something inherent in our knowledge of God and how it triggers our life. Let me say that again. There's something inherent in our knowledge of God and how it triggers our life. I think of my friend Walter Pimpong. Not ping pong, but Pimpong. And Walter lives in Ghana. Walter was reeling with the reality that there was over 15,000 women in slavery in the Upper Volta region. And this would have been close to 20 years ago. And he went to the pastors and he said, I want to do something to get these women out of slavery. And they were in slavery because what would happen is when there would be a curse on someone, people would sell their virgin daughters. They'd give their virgin daughters to the fetish priests. It was a horrific situation. And they would give their daughters to the priest and they would become his wives. And they lived in deplorable situations. And then the fetish priest would lift the curse. And talk about the dark side, the really dark side of evil. But it was a deplorable situation. There was probably 15 to 17,000 women in slavery, and many of them had several children. And they ranged in age from 7 years of age to 80 years of age. One of the priests had over 200 wives. And I was involved with an organization called International Needs. And International Needs supported and empowered national leaders, and Walter was one of them. But Walter went to his ministerial colleagues and said, this is what God's calling me to do. And they said, you know what? That's not your job. You're not the right person to do it. And Walter couldn't be swayed. He said, no, this is what God has called me to do. And if I jump to the far end of the story, Walter made numerous trips to different countries. He shared about the need. He ended up setting up schools. He took bold steps of faith. That one priest with the 200 wives released them all and gave his life to Jesus. And I remember being there after about year 15 and seeing some of the places that Walter had made and meeting all these young women that were out of slavery. Many of them were the same age of my own daughters. And my heart broke with sadness for what they'd been through, but also with joy that they had been set free. Now, you see, Walter acted that way because he knew his God. And that's what Daniel says. When we're doing this phrase, we know it's a phrase of faith. They who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. But notice this, there is something inherent in our knowledge of God and how it triggers our life. Walter believed that God would use him in a great way. And God wants to use you tonight as you're listening to this radio broadcast. You see, the Greeks use two words in their language for the word to know. The one word, and I hope you're going to be really impressed with this, the one Greek word is gnosko. And that implies a progressive knowledge. Let me explain that. Progressive knowledge is like, I'm getting to know you. It's the type of knowing that a couple have when they fall in love. And then they get married. You know, before they get married, they think they know each other. But after 20 years of being together, or 30, wow, they know each other even more. But that's not the word to know. We often think about that. We're getting to know each other. The Greeks actually used a word oida, and it's a beautiful word here. It implies that the object has simply come within the scope of the knower's perception. And who's the object? That's the Lord himself. It means that we can know God because he's chosen to reveal himself to us, and he has come within our scope. You see, Walter would never have known God the way that he did had he not stepped out in faith. And God revealed him as the God who will provide and meet him, even at that proverbial 11th hour. Story after story from Walter's life was one of a miracle. And you see, the knowledge that all things work together for good is something that is accepted and claimed only by faith. And then I like the next phrase. He says, and we know that in all things God works. You see, the language that Paul uses does not restrict, but it implies in every detail. Are you listening to this now? You see, oftentimes I run into people and they have a problem with that. And I'll hear them say almost piously, but they're full of themselves when they say, well, I'm not going to bother God with these little things. They think that God wouldn't care about the little things, but rather that it would only be an annoyance. Sometimes I have people say to me, well, don't pray for me. I don't need prayer, but you can pray for that other person. I'm thinking, really? You don't need prayer? We see in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God's divine plan is being worked out in every aspect of your life. From flat tires, maybe you're sitting by the side of the road right now with a flat tire. Love to hear from you. To a major crisis. It speaks of the day that you were joined in holy deadlock. I mean wedlock. To the promotion that you might have just received. And it speaks of the things that frustrate you, from relationship rage to road rage. Have you been frustrated this week? Have you been struggling with things, maybe in relationships, just kind of irritable, kind of cranky? I've been there, and God kept saying to me, you need to trust me. See, as I've been waiting for God to answer a prayer and to give me clear direction, oh man, I tried not to get irritable, but I was, because in my flesh, I just wasn't resting in God. I was trying to figure out all the angles. Hey, do you have a problem with anger or with rage? Hey, why is it that all the semi drivers who cut me off or pull out in front of me never seem to have that sign on the back that says, how's my driving? And then they have the telephone number. Do you remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, thrown into prison by his brothers, charged with a rape offense that he never committed, left there to die in a prison? And years later, when he was out of prison and the number two person in Egypt, he would say to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Wow. You see, that's the understanding that happens when we know that in all things, God is working for the good. And when he was in jail, that's where God came within Joseph's scope and revealed himself in a different way. I'm sure he's saying, God, where are you? And we read on two different occasions in the book of Genesis that when Joseph was in jail, it says, the Lord was with him. And the Lord is with you right now if you're trusting in him. Or Daniel's three friends who were about to be thrown to the fiery furnace. They said to the king, our God who we serve is able to deliver us because they knew that he could trust us. Trust in God. Hey, we're going to come back after a short break and unpack more of this. We'd love for you to call in. The number is 1-800-684-2848. The number for the Buffalo friends in that greater area is 883-5000. You're listening to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Can God be trusted? We're going to continue talking about that right after this break.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Sherboneau interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fook, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeSherboneau.org and download your favorite episode today.
North End Church is a new church in the north end of St. Catharines. We believe that one of the best decisions you can make is to connect with a local church, to find friends, a spiritual family, and grow in your faith. God never intended for us to live in isolation, so if you're looking for a church, we invite you to come and be a part of North End. Discover with us the purpose for which God created you. Sundays at 10, we're located at 455 Geneva Street. Coffee's on and the welcome mat is always out. North End Church is current and casual, but anchored to the scriptures. North End loves to let people know that everyone is welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. Join Pastor Mike Sherboneau every Sunday at North End Church, where we believe the best is yet to come. You can find us online at northendchurch.ca.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And as the commercial said, I hope that if you don't have a church to go to, that you're going to make the decision. What a great time. Summertime is a great time to start coming to church. And I hope you'll know how welcome you are at 455 Geneva Street. We're going to be unpacking this truth also tomorrow as we continue to teach from God's Word. This whole subject is so important because we get challenged with it constantly. We get challenged with it as we watch what our politicians are dealing with. I'm listening to the rhetoric as different people are running for the Democratic Party and some of the things that they're saying, you know, that if you really are a Christian, you wouldn't believe this, you wouldn't believe that. I hear it from the Republicans. They're saying the same things. They're giving it back the other way. Maybe you got a comment on that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. In Canada, I mean, ditto, except one of the problems that we have in Canada is because we are so tolerant, we hardly speak up. We don't want to ruffle anybody. We don't want to, stir things up. But there, time has come when Christians in Canada need to speak up for what is true, for what is just and what is right. And I hope that in the midst of being God's visible presence, that we will realize that regardless of what we're going through, God can be trusted. But hey, if you're struggling with that question, that's okay. We'd love to hear from you again, as we say, 883-5000, or the toll-free number is 1-800-684-2848. And as we're unpacking Romans chapter 8, verses 28, here we go. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So what we got to struggle with in that phrase is, why is it when things are so difficult, the scripture says it works together for good? And we're going to realize in a moment that it's working it out for God's good. Because when I say yes to Jesus, when I trust him, that's when I've got to hold on to the fact that God is working out his divine plan. And that becomes critical. So the numbers, again, to call in, and we got one caller on hold right now. We're going to take in just a moment, 883-5000 and 1-800-684-2848. All right, let's pick up the first caller. Hey, how are you tonight?
Hi, good. How are you, Mike?
Good. What's your name?
Todd Sanders.
Hey, Todd, thank you for calling. You know what? It just didn't quite sound like you for a second, and I do know your name. I'm glad you called in. Because we're unpacking this truth, Todd, can God be trusted? And what happens when our plans get all screwed up, at least the way that we're expecting and the way that we want? You ever been there, Todd?
I have been there on a few separate occasions, many, Mike, to be honest. A few in particular. I mean, God's got a plan for everybody.
He sure does.
I think as society, and unfortunately I was on the same bandwagon, for society, we often attribute anything that happens, that kind of a crazy thing that happens in our lives, we attribute it to coincidence, to the chance. And usually after a number of months or years or days or weeks in the future going forward, you know that it was really actually God's plan after you reach out to Him.
Yeah, very true. Well, Todd, you know, I was really excited earlier this week to record a television program with you, and that's going to be airing across Canada in a couple weeks. And in that story, you did talk about that chaos in your life, and there was a couple things that you referenced. But I wonder if you could just jump into the story, and I'm going to interject, okay? I won't let you run for 5 minutes, but I'm going to interject with questions.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's a good story, Todd. So you've had a wild life. You've been doing the bar scene in and out. You know, you're a bit of a dirt disturber, and you're frustrated and angry. And your mom had died suddenly, and that was just a real painful thing. But let's just jump in at the point where you're married. That incredible lady. Tell everybody what her name is.
Yeah, my wife's name is Judy. Wonderful lady. As Mike alluded to, I was kind of a bad guy in terms of behavior. I came into a situation where we found a church. I became a Christian. Judy wasn't quite there yet, so I had to preach to her. And she was quite upset. She would say, the audacity of you to, after your behavior, to treat me this way. And I prayed about it, and a really crazy situation, what I would call a God-inspired event, happened, where somebody, a missionary that my father had known, the long and short of it, he was in a place that he shouldn't have been in. He was supposed to be in the following week, and the date had changed, and there was a number of different events that led to this particular event where he opened Judy's eyes, and she crossed that line of faith. That could have never happened by chance. It was clearly God's plan.
So, yeah, and that's an incredible story. But leading up to that, if we jump back in your story, about four years prior to that, Judy is pregnant with your first child.
Yes, Judy's pregnant. So,
and you're not following God at this point, are you? I mean, you had walked away from God when you were about 13.
My wife and I love each other very much, but neither one of us have crossed the line of faith. My wife was pregnant with my first child, and what happened was she was 8.5 months. She was in extreme pain. I took her to the hospital. The doctor suggested he didn't have a magic wand. She had the flu. Took her home. 5 minutes later, she screamed again. I took her into the emergency. They called an OB in. They came out, the long and short of it, they came out a couple of minutes later. They said, Mr. Sanders, in all probability, you're going to lose your wife and child. She has a blood clot on her liver.
How old were you, Todd, at that point? Todd, how old were you?
I was 28 years old.
Now, your family, you got brothers and sisters, were they followers of Jesus or not?
They were. They were very devout followers. So we went.
Is that when you started to pray?
Exactly. They came to Hamilton, and I saw them praying, and I thought that was so cool. I was angry. I was saying to God, Judy doesn't deserve this. You have a plan for her. And as everybody says, you know, I will turn my life around, but I need you to save Judy. I was watching my family pray intently in the waiting room, and the doctor came out later and he said, you know what, Mr. Sanders, she's going to be okay. There's no sign of a blood clot. He said, that's nothing short of miraculous.
Wow. And what did you think at that moment?
A couple years later, she became a Christian.
Todd, when the doctor said it's nothing short of miraculous, did you just think it was good luck, or did you actually in your heart of hearts know that God had heard your prayer?
Well, I said, this is crazy, and I talked to my family, but you know what? My heart of hearts, I knew that it was a God thing. I knew that was a God-inspired event and situation that altered the course of my life.
Wow. And but you still were a bit of a hard nut, weren't you? For the next couple of years, you kind of held on. I'm saying that as nicely as I can, Todd.
Exactly. And, Pastor, the great thing about the situation is God has patience. I tell people, if God can convert me, if the Holy Spirit has an interest in me and has a plan for me, and I reached out to him and he accepts me, does not let me go, that is indicative. That's representative of anybody. Anybody. God created us with the free will, and people need to reach out to Jesus Christ.
Wow. Todd, I'm preaching, teaching right now that phrase, and we know that in all things, God works for the good, his good, for those who love him.
Romans 8, I love it.
Yeah, and so I want you to help me with one other thing, because if we jump ahead again, I mean, you and Judy started following the Lord, but you were locked into a church, but you kind of drifted away. And then about a year ago, you just said, we got to get reconnected again. And part of this program, Todd, is to encourage people to get reconnected. You and I have had this conversation. Many people have drifted away. There are many people listening to the program tonight who have drifted away from church. They've been disappointed or let down.
Right.
And I just want to encourage them to find a church to go to. And if they don't have one to go to, you know they're welcome at North End, because you've headed up the greeting ministry at our church. And you and I had never met 8 months ago. Tell the listeners what happened, because this is all part of God's plan. I was called across the country to start the church, and I'm thinking, who's going to come and help me? And then you came.
Yeah,
and I couldn't have picked a better person. Yeah,
no,
so tell that story. Tell what happened.
Yeah, just essentially, I mean, we certainly didn't turn away from God, but we weren't connected. We weren't serving. We weren't in a community of believers. To do faith in isolation is fairly difficult. Still loved the Lord very much. Still did the but it was basically the bare minimal things. We decided we needed to reconnect. You're praying about a church, We back pewed, if you will, many churches. Just didn't find the connection. I said, there's got to be a different kind of church that we can connect with. I had a dream that they were going to open a church called the North End Church. Five weeks later, I heard around the community that they were opening a church called North End Church.
Todd, I don't think we had even named the church at that point.
I don't know what I came in when I first met you, when I first came in, because it was, I knew there was a transition, but that's the dream I had, and it was, you know, just embraced by you and your lovely wife Terry and your daughters, and it's been and it has evolved in a good way and in so many ways, in terms of relationally and numerically and spiritually.
Wow. You know, Todd, there's a verse in the scripture, and I just want to thank you for calling in. But before you hang up, and we're going to go to a break here in a moment, I want to share a verse with all of our listeners. And maybe you're going to have a comment, I don't know. But in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, the eye has not seen, nor has the ear heard, and the mind can't conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. And what an amazing story of what God has prepared, that through the ups and downs, he has shown that he's been faithful. He's been walking with you, brother, through that. And that's huge.
I'll just conclude, Mike, by saying it's exciting. It is so exciting. There certainly doesn't go without problems crossing that line of faith, but I tell you, you have a peace and a hope and a security and a stability that you'll never, ever experience without Jesus Christ.
Wow. Todd, thanks for sharing that with all our listeners, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning at North End. And
That sounds great.
And whoever walks in the door, they're going to meet you. Exactly.
That's right. I'll be there. I'll have my name tag on it. God bless you, Pastor Mike, for doing what you're doing. Okay?
Thanks, Todd. Have a great evening.
Love you. See you, buddy. Right. Bye for
okay.
now.
Okay, thanks. So we're really glad you're listening to Open Mic, and I hope that you will indulge me with that phone call. I just thought it was so powerful, Todd, what he had to share. And imagine, I remember driving across Canada and saying, Lord, we're going to start this church. What are we going to call it? And I got on the phone with one of my daughters and a friend of hers who were having supper in St. Catharines. And they put me on speaker, and I was probably somewhere in the middle of the prairies. And I said, what are we going to call the church? And they said, well, where is it? I said, it's going to be in the North End. And they said, oh, Dad. They said, everybody just refers to it as North End. And that's how we come up with the name. And we came up with the name that way. But God had confirmed it to Todd through a dream, and we had never met. I mean, how cool is that? Hey, I'm Mike Scirbino. You're listening to Open Mic. We're going to be right back as we unpack this subject even more. Can God be trusted? We're going to be right back after this short break.
North End Church is a new church in the north end of St. Catharines. We believe that one of the best decisions you can make is to connect with a local church, to find friends, a spiritual family, and grow in your faith. God never intended for us to live in isolation, so if you're looking for a church, we invite you to come and be a part of North End. Discover with us the purpose for which God created you. Sundays at 10, we're located at 455 Geneva Street. Coffee's on and the welcome mat is always out. North End Church is current and casual, but anchored to the scriptures. North End loves to let people know that everyone is welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. Join Pastor Mike Scirbino every Sunday at North End Church, where we believe the best is yet to come. You can find us online at northendchurch.ca.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Scirbino interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fook, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeScirbino.org and download your favorite episode today.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Scirbino. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey again, we're just glad you're listening to the program tonight. We'd love for you to call in and weigh in with your thoughts. And as we unpack this truth a little more, let's just deal with the tension. Let's just deal with the rub that we have here, because it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And let's unpack that phrase, to those who have been called. Maybe just a little bit of levity for a moment. I don't know about you, but I'm always intrigued with answering machines. And there was a time, maybe when our kids were home, that, you know, they would change the answering machine, and there were some pretty funny things they would put on. I heard a couple answering machine lines. Let me just give it to you. The one said, hi, this is John. If you're the phone company, I already sent the money. If you're my parents, please send money. And if you're my financial aid institution, you didn't lend me enough money. And if you're my friends, you owe me money. And if you're a female, don't worry, I have plenty of money. Hey, and then the other one is, hi, John's answering machine is broken. This is his refrigerator. Please speak very slowly, and I'll stick your message to myself with one of these magnets. Hey, well, I hope you're smiling when I shared those with you. But let's unpack this thing, who have been called. You see, the call of God on our life. Aren't you glad that when we call heaven, we don't get an answering machine? God has called us. And this is further assurance in this passage. God reached out to us. And if he called us, will he not keep us? I want to say, yes, he will. Some of you are hearing the call of God upon your life, and you need to respond. What we hear in the passage is, you did not choose Christ, but he chose you. And so can I encourage you, as you're hearing his call today, respond in faith. Because when God calls us to be his children, he calls us to be conquerors. And then in a moment, we're going to pick up a little bit more and go a little further. But we have Johanna on the phone right now, and we're going to take her call. Hi, Johanna.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm listening, and you had asked the question about, is God there?
Yeah.
And I certainly can respond to an incident that was happened in my life.
Why don't you tell us that? Just jump right in.
Okay. this isn't fun, but I'll tell you anyhow. I was married. Oh, am I talking? Who am I? Okay. And I was married, and I was in Hawaii. And for 4 days into our marriage, my husband was drowned.
Oh, my.
And I called to church. I called back to St. Bart's here in Buffalo, and I asked for prayer, and I had to tell the priest, Father Raymond, what happened in Hawaii. And what I didn't know and did not find out until about 3 years later was that at the time when I called him, he was just ready to go into Wednesday morning service.
Okay.
And he went in there and he told the congregation what happened. And most of them, if not all of them, had been at my wedding, you know, on the Saturday before.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were all praying for me. And I tell you, I just had so much peace. And the only thing I asked the Lord was, Lord, please give me peaceful sleep, sweet sleep. And I got that. And every night I was able to sleep. And then things had to follow, you know, fall into place. But just the fact that the Lord just had his hands around me, and it was wonderful. That was such a blessing part of my life.
So, Johanna, could I ask you a question or two just as we unpack
sure.
that? Well, first of all, thank you for calling in. And for Chris's question, how long ago did this happen?
This happened in 94.
Sorry, 94?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just broke up there. Okay, so there's been quite a bit of time since that has passed. And
oh, yeah.
Obviously, there's still a sense of loss. There's always a sense of loss. How did the healing process happen through that? I mean, there were the prayers of God's people. Were there a couple specific things that happened that helped keep you floating, you know, as they say, keeping you on top of the waves?
Well, I must say that at the time I had an 11-year-old son, because I had lost my husband 2 years before to leukemia. So you'd lost two husbands now. And then I had this blessing in my life, and so I won't go into anything further in regards to that, except for the fact that it was a blessing and it was a wonderful relationship, and it was very difficult coming home from Hawaii and meeting his five children that now were, of course, orphans. They were adults, but that, of course, was another.
Yep.
You know, just coming home to them was very difficult, but they were very warm and very sweet, and I actually became mother of the bride to my husband's daughter, and I never had a daughter, so that was sweet.
So that's pretty special.
Yeah, and of course the church has been a very important part of my life as well.
Yeah. Well, Johanna, thank you for calling in and just sharing that story. You know, we have no idea what the script of life is going to look like. You know, we have a choice. We can hold on by ourselves, or we can trust God.
Yeah.
And as someone said, we can grow bitter or we can grow better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, thank you so much. And, I hope you'll call back in again on the program. Just a delight.
Well,
to have
thank
you
for
tonight.
Being there.
Thank you. Good night. And God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
So as we just continue tonight with the whole subject, can God be trusted? What are your thoughts? We want to invite you to call in 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. And to all our Raptor fans in Canada, it's 1-800-684-2. 1-800-684-2848. 1-800-684-2848. So we're talking about, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to suggest to you that when God calls us to be his children, he calls us to be conquerors. Now, think about that in the midst of the difficult situation that Joanna just described. Does that mean we don't weep or we don't grieve or we don't mourn? Absolutely not. We see that in the life of Jesus when he encountered death, when his friend, when he heard that Lazarus had died. Jesus is moved with compassion. In John, we read where it says Jesus wept. And so there is that human touch. And the Bible says that we don't grieve like those who have no hope. And that's what we hold on to, that God wants to instill in us an incredible hope. And when the call of God is on our life, we know that if God has called us, he is going to keep us. And then it says, who have been called according to his purpose. That's an important phrase as well, and I want to help you to understand that. In the Bible, we have the Apostle Paul, and he writes to Timothy and explains what God's purpose is for us. In 2 Timothy 1:9, and this is important if we're going to understand the whole context of this passage. It says that he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Now, what's God's purpose? God's purpose for us is to live a holy life. It is a holy life which will bring honor and glory to his name. And you and I, if we're followers of Jesus, have been created to bring glory to the Lord. And when God's people live holy lives, we can influence a generation. That's been the history of the church throughout the years. People look and say, what is it that makes you so different? And it's the fact of Christ living in us. What was it that happened to me on that dark night of the soul that I'm not at liberty to talk about on the air? Well, you know what? What happened to me was that God met me, and he has brought me through. He has brought us through. And as I have laid parents to rest, a brother, we buried my brother. Last week, my brother was on the show, and we actually talked about burying our brother, what it was like. And as we walk through those things, it's in the midst of it that people look on and say, well, where is your God? You see, we live with the hope, the certainty that God will not fail us or forsake us. I love the verse in Revelation chapter 21. And in Revelation 21, I come to this passage whenever I take a funeral. And I read the passage because it just is brimming with life. And I'm turning here in my Bible to it right now. Here we come. Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's speaking about those who love him. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. See, that's the incredible hope that we have as God's children, the incredible hope that he will never fail us or forsake us. And the purpose for which God has called you and I is to live a holy life. You see, part of living a holy life, it's more than just the idea of a goody two-shoes. A holy life is a life that is obedient. And that example is found actually in Jesus. Remember on the night before Jesus went to the cross, we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. About a month ago, I had the privilege of being in Israel for the first time in my life. And as I visited some of these places, as I was there on the Mount of Olives and pondering what it was like for Jesus, the powerful thing about when Jesus was in the garden is that he struggles in prayer. And they'd found a rock, and they think that it was the possible place where Jesus was actually praying that night, where he says, Father, it's not what I want, but it's what you want. Not my will, but yours be done. And that's the purpose for which Christ has called you and for which he has called me, that in the midst of even the dark moments that we can bring glory to God. Oh, it doesn't mean that we're going to like going through those hard times. No way. I don't sign up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, just bring on trouble and persecution and problems. Nope. I don't know what the day holds, and neither do you. But I have a choice that I can make. I can say, Lord, I'm going to accept this day the good and the bad. Because Job says the rain falls on the good and on the just and on the unjust. And I just say, Lord, here I am. Will you live through me? Will you love through me? Will you walk through me? And when that happens, we can change a generation. And God calls you and I to live those holy lives. It's a powerful statement because when God calls us, he calls us as his children to be conquerors. Where are you in the midst of it all? You know what? I'm going to be right back after a short break. We got callers, another caller calling in. We're going to take that call in a moment. But first, let's listen to these announcements that are coming up. You're listening to Open Mic with Mike Charbonneau. I'm going to be right back.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Charbonneau interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fuch, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeCharbonneau.org and download your favorite episode today.
North End Church is a new church in the north end of St. Catharines. We believe that one of the best decisions you can make is to connect with a local church, to find friends, a spiritual family, and grow in your faith. God never intended for us to live in isolation, so if you're looking for a church, we invite you to come and be a part of North End. Discover with us the purpose for which God created you. Sundays at 10, we're located at 455 Geneva Street. Coffee's on and the welcome mat is always out. North End Church is current and casual, but anchored to the scriptures. North End loves to let people know that everyone is welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. Join Pastor Mike Charbonneau every Sunday at North End Church, where we believe the best is yet to come. You can find us online at northendchurch.ca.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Charbonneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, welcome back to the program, and we have Jesse on the line, and we're going to go and take that call right now as well. Jesse, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon to you, hey. Mike, and listeners. Yeah, I love your program.
So are you? Oh, well, thank you, and we're just so glad you've called in. You wanted to make a couple comments, so share with me your thoughts on trusting God.
Yeah. For sure, God can be trusted. I was saved from I was a child, 12 years old, and over 30 years, trusting God completely, you know, with my life. And the thing with God for me is that it's because of who he is why I can trust him. He's a great God, and he's able to do what he says he will do. God so, all by himself.
Can you talk to me about that for just a little bit? Maybe you got an example that God is able to do what he chooses to do. What? Just unpack that for our listeners.
Well, the thing is, with man, we're limited with what we can do. Our intentions are great. You know, we can promise to do stuff, but sometimes we're not able because, you know, like the scripture says, the arm of flesh will fail. But when it comes to God, he is just able because he is all-powerful. He is in total control. Like the scripture says, he is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He's able. And so it's easy for me to trust him. Also, I love the word, Mike. I mean, the scriptures for me, I can stand on every promise that's in the scriptures, that's in the Bible.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah. And I love what you were saying, that we are more than conquerors. You said that we were conquerors, but then scripture says we are more than conquerors. and you know, when I looked it up, it says it's a compound word, which means to over-conquer, to conquer completely without any real threat to personal life. I mean, that's how he makes us, more than conquerors. So, you know, we go,
Jesse, let me ask you the question. And maybe just share with the viewers tonight before we move on. How would you tell someone to become a conqueror? How would you tell them to trust in Jesus? Maybe share what happened to you when you were 12. What does that mean for you?
Well, the thing is, for me, I'm thinking you have to be in the Word.
Okay.
Every day, you just have to be in the Word, and then you just have to have that relationship with God, because you're going to know Him by relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, recently I had my phone. Yeah, I had my phone, and it has a ring, and I heard it. And then I, you know, went to answer, and then somebody said to me, "How did you hear your phone? I didn't hear it." And then I said, "Well, the thing is, it's my phone. And I know the ring that it has, right? And it's the same thing with God. We're going to know God by relationship. So we have
Absolutely.
To spend time. We have to spend time in His presence. And that, you know, part of that is the Word and spending time with our Bible group, you know, our local church, that sort of thing. And for those people, Mike, who perhaps, you know, they had something, I don't know, a believer, something, and they thought, oh, you know, God didn't come through. What I always say, what we don't get in this life, we're going to get in the next life.
We're going to get so much more. So much
more. Oh,
yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. Jesse, thank you for calling. I hope you'll call back in again. We'd love to hear your comments, and thank you for what you've shared tonight. And God bless you on this holiday weekend. Yeah.
Also you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Good night. And so as we continue tonight to unpack that truth, love to hear. We got time for a couple more calls, 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848. So let me just continue to teach this principle that when God calls us to be His children, He calls us to be conquerors, or as Jesse said, more than conquerors. I like that. Now, the Bible says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what's His purpose? Well, as I'm looking right now in my Bible, we come to that purpose in verse 29. And so we read here, it says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, we have something here that we need to ask a question. Let's revisit the question right from the beginning that seems to lurk in the back of our minds like a bad memory. Why does God allow these irritating things to happen in my life? In other words, why does my wife not see my point of view? And better still, why doesn't my dog? Hey, what about you? You know, some of you have been irritating lately. Shouldn't it be that I say, let's just do this and everyone goes along with me? God is teaching me, He's teaching you, He's teaching us that in all of life, He has a plan. And when it seems that life is being blown apart from you, make sure that you're seeing things through the lens of Scripture. You see, life is a molding process. And if it feels it's getting painful or you feel it's more than you can take, then listen to what is being said right here. Because it says, God foreknew, because those He foreknew, He also predestined. Okay, let me explain what it means to be foreknown. In Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16, we learn that God knew you before you were born. It says He saw you before you were born. That's why we need to defend the rights of the unborn. Before the sperm connected with the egg. Hey, of all the possibilities, you're the one who won. And God knew it. And then He said, not only did He foreknow you, but He predestined. I love that phrase. It means to mark out with a boundary. He chose you. He called you before. He knew that you would be His. And therefore, all the glory must go to Him. Friends, nothing happens by chance. If you're a Christ follower, you can hold on to that truth. Nothing is happening by chance. There's no such thing as bad luck or good luck. There's just God. What is it that God has called us to be? He's called us to be conformed to His Son. That's what pleases God. So hang on, because we got a couple minutes, and this really is, I think, critical to the whole program tonight. What does it mean to be conformed? You see, the conforming process is what is painful. Guys, you're going to get this. It's like having a pair of pants with a 32-inch waist and you've grown to a 34. Or did I say a 36? Maybe a 38. And then you try to get into them. Talk about pain. You see, to be conformed, it speaks of an inward change. and not just outward conformity. It's not enough to shed a few tears. It needs to be from the heart. So how am I conformed to God's image? And I've discovered that it's in those painful moments that I find I'm conformed in three ways. First of all, there's the upward way. That's when I learn to trust Him. It's what Jesse was actually talking about. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Why is that? Because sometimes life just doesn't make sense. You just know you're supposed to do something. When God called me to start North End Church, to drive across the country, I'm thinking, this does not make sense. But I knew I was to go. And that's the upward. And then the inward way is that we trust, that we're conformed, is by asking, am I living for myself or am I living for others? You see, when self-denial goes out of fashion, self-fulfillment takes its place. God calls us to deny ourselves and to put Him first. But we live in a very hedonistic and a very narcissistic lifestyle where it's, oh, just take care of yourself. It's all about you. But that's not what Jesus modeled. It said He humbled Himself. He took the form of a servant. Wow, what's that all about? It's about being conformed. So there's the upward trusting Him. There's the inward where I say, who am I living for? And then there's this whole outward part. That's where I need to pause and say, is there bitterness? You know, is there a lot of anger? Are there things that need to change? Because the conformity, getting back to where God wants me, maybe if I'm going to get back into a 32-inch pair of pants, I might have to shed 10 or 12 pounds. I might have to shed some bitterness, some anger, some resentment to say, Lord, I just want to be filled with Your presence again. Hey, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Well, we don't want to miss the grace of God, do we? But why and how is that? It says that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, part of the conformity, for whatever reason, the Bible knows that it's easy to be bitter. It's easy to be angry at God. And when that happens, we miss out on His grace. Regardless of what you're going through right now, God wants to intersect your life with an incredible encounter with His grace and with His presence. It says that's what being conformed. And you know, it says to those who are being conformed, He justified. It means the moment I believed in Him, I was justified. I was made right before God, declared to be in the right. And finally, it says those He justified, He glorified. The tense of that word speaks of God who sees the end from the beginning. It indicates that God sees what we'll become. That's why He does not give up on us. He does not give up on you. And His power is there for us. And He wants to meet you today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, why not right now you just say as this program is ending, Lord Jesus, I want to trust You. I want to follow You. I want You to be my leader and my Lord. And if you're praying that prayer, He's heard it. Go to my website. You can talk to a mentor at mikesherbonneau.org. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the program as much as I've enjoyed sharing with you tonight. God bless you. Have an incredible long weekend. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week, or maybe tomorrow morning at North End Church.